he said, okay, he stands in the mirror.
I'll tell you, I could not draw a picture of Schwarzenegger. At the set, I could draw a picture of her, but they dragged him away.
They were Good evening. My name is Jim Zonlak. I am part of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Project. I'm here to support the South Branch Project, but what I'm here to talk about is conservation and fishery that supports. If you recently have realized that right now the Lake Pike River is a nursery for our fish, that there's a marine pond located about the 7th Cherry and 40,000 Chinook kings, and the figurines are stored for 2 weeks by our fishing club, which supports the electricity and releases them to the river for them to maintain forage back into the Pike River. And as we all know, the watershed is where it's at today. The South Branch will increase the fishing activity very highly and also bring in more tourism values to Kenosha County. As you know, there's many fly fishermen in this area that do travel to Kenosha to fly fish. And if you've ever seen the Brook River down in Racine, you can see a lot of fly fishermen. South Branch would be another added benefit to the fishery division. I just want to be aware that we're looking for this as another new habitat for the fishery division. So the fish will have a nursery to support them and release back into Lake Michigan and have a 4-year request back into their nursery. So this is what I propose, that the South Branch go forward and continue to support the fishery out of the ocean and the city as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else, please?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Merrill Eugene, and my address is 6120 10th Street and Summers. If there's any Summers residents here, that's what they would want me to say, and not Kenosha. But officially, the address is Kenosha. Let's see here. County supervisors, it's an honor to be here with you. Also plead to you that the South Branch of the Pike River, it's an important body of our community. And for 13 years, I've commuted to and from Chicago and here to enjoy the Southeast Wisconsin, what it has to offer. And let me tell you, about a year and a half ago, February 2020, we decided to make an investment in purchase a house in Summers. We love the area, and one of the things we didn't realize exists before we purchased, but we still would purchase, is that the waterways are in disrepair. They're very bad. And as a veteran, and it's good to see a U.S. Marine Corps sweater up there. As a veteran, it's great to see the Army Corps engineer is willing to provide funding towards restoration of such waterways. In Southeast Wisconsin, we have beautiful terrains, beautiful waterways. The only problem with the beautiful waterways is that they're in disrepair. They need restoration, and your help is needed. And that's one of the reasons why I had to come out here to plead with you for your help in funding this project. The other things to consider is the benefits that the restoration will allow. Part of it is additional refuge for other people. With functioning waterways, people from other places will come here and see this place as a place to invest in, just like we did. And symbolically, it's, having healthy waterways shows that the community's healthy. The farmers are not having to struggle because there's a natural water system in place. And I'm glad that some of the gentlemen before me spoke about fly fishing. Fishing is important. That's why this guy is here with me, because he wants to make a quick comment and plead with you guys to please fund this project, because he loves fishing. Just think about the increased property values with improved waterways that are restored and not in disrepair from erosion. It's going to go a long way, not just for us, but also for the rest of the community. And I think your legacy will be seen years to come. So I plead with you guys to please fund this project. Gregory, you want to address?
If the river is a big something, bigger fish. My name is John Baldwin. I am a tenant in the Sun Plaza redevelopment area that you guys are considering right now. And I'm here to thumbs it up so we can revitalize that neighborhood, give it a new look, stimulate the businesses that's in that area already. It's been a long time coming, you know. And so we're asking that you look into it. Let's see if we can get that done, because change is needed. We need that change. And to be able to facilitate the customers or the clients that are already being facilitated on Sheridan Road, you now have a facility that is closer to more of that clientele. I think it's a win-win. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. My name is Willie Caritas. I'm the project manager for the Rails to Trails Conservancy. When COVID hit, the safe place to go and recommended to go was on trails. And within the first month, we were taking national surveys, and trail use jumped 200%. For the next 3 months, trail use was, they were packed. So if you're trying to get away from people, they were not the place to go. So they were just crowded everywhere. But then it leveled off to about 75%, and they're maintaining that rate right now, a 75% increase. So trails were recognized as a safe place to go, a good place to bring your families, and it was a really good thing. You know, get people off their phones and off their computers and get them outside. I'm working on a project called the Water the Badger with Sewer Pack and Wisconsin Bike Fed. And so we're trying to connect all the existing trail infrastructure in the seven southeast counties to create a 700-mile network. So once you get on a trail, you don't have to get off. It's basically a road system for trails. This would be a fantastic addition, because you know what? It's really tough these days, unless you have the foresight to think about where these trails are going to go. There's like not a lot of space, especially in urban areas, because trails weren't at the forefront of people's planners' minds at the beginning. So now you have to look at utility corridors, rail corridors, existing rail corridors, parkways, and also streams and potential streams where you can revitalize these streams. It's a golden opportunity. In Racine County, just on May 5th of this year, they finalized the deal for the White River State Trail extension, 11-mile extension, which is going to connect Burlington all the way to the lake. Eventually, that's going to be a 76-mile loop as all part of that route of the battery. The county put in $500,000, and Speaker Voss got $1 million from the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. This is a great opportunity to, I know it's a lot of money, but it's building a legacy for the future. These trail corridors don't come easy, as you know. And so your investment in and belief in this trail and the revitalization of this South Branch is a major opportunity to create a legacy for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Further citizens.
Over the bridge, you know, in the amphitheater, And it's sort of like happened again a few years later. We then started having a few more of these major floods like this per year. For the last 4 years, with the exception of this year, due to the drought, this river has majorly flooded several times a year. In 2019, it flooded like this six or so times. Each time these floods occur, it is catastrophic for our river and for the land. In that, we lose a significant amount of riverbank forever in erosion. It's not just a strain on our land, but it's also severely impacts organizations and financial. We spend hundreds of man hours per year repairing the service road, regrading, laying down new gravel, fixing trails, removing log jams, and then there's the bridge. Our main bridge was built in 1952, the size of the pike curve was in 1952. In recent years, the bridge has undergone several costly repairs. We're now at the point where the river is much wider than the bridge itself. The water actually bottlenecks right across the pike. So the bridge needs updating. We need an adequate bridge for the current size of the river. All these expenses add up for our organization. Often how has had to incur these expenses that has been caused by the mismanagement of the watershed over the years. So on behalf of Offer Howell, a property owner along the South Branch of the Pike River, I support the county's decision to fund the restoration of the South Branch of the Pike River. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any further citizens' comment?
Good evening. My name is Tim Elliger, and my address is 4634 North 105th Street, Wauwatosa. And I'm down here as a representative, having worked on the North Pike Restoration since 1996. I'm a professor at UW-Milwaukee, and I've written a lot of reports and monitoring the restoration of the Pike River was part of the facilitation that was precipitated by the lawsuit threatened between then the town of Mount Pleasant and the DNR. And I want to share with you some things about what I've learned there. There's a lot you can read in our reports. I advise you, if you've not already looked at, I'm sure it's been referenced, some of the long-term maintenance plans, which shares a lot of the lessons that we learned. I want to say a few things that you can't get from reading those, in particular the things that we really learned about that restoration project, where we spent the last 26 years using the South Pike as the worst case scenario to compare to what was up there. So I know a lot of what was bad down here, I know a lot of what went well up there, and I just want to say it as a cautionary tale. There's this idea, it's kind of the field of dreams, that if you build something, they will come. Okay, there's importance to that. You have to build things. But the power of the North Branch Pike River restoration had a lot to do with the construction. But it was even more important was the power of the process of engaging the community in that restoration project. There were 9 phases, and phases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, there was a lot of engagement with the community where people had the opportunity to participate in the design, to participate in the monitoring, to give their feedback and learn between those phases. And that brought the community into the project, which really helped politically, but it really helped in terms of getting the people involved in making it a success, because there's a lot that has to happen in this project that $20 million won't pay for. It's got to be something that's owned by the community, and they're going to want to have to maintain it, serve it, find out what's going wrong, give you advice about that. My cautionary tale is this. We learned in phases 8 and 9, where we used Army Corps of Engineering funds. Army Corps is great to work with. Community engagement is not their expertise. Please, as part of this, and I fully support this plan, but I want to just let you know that in the, how many years, that's been 26 plus years we've been working with the North Pike, be sure as part of this process that Kenosha leverages through the process participation by the community in all the phases of design, of feedback, of monitoring, of the schools. I think about it because some of the biggest assets from that project, when we did the long-term maintenance plan of interviewing businesses and all the stakeholders around there, some of the benefits were things we never even thought of. For example, the corporations up there use the Pike River Trails as a resource for recruiting young talent to come into the community because people want that. They want the trails. They want to be able to go out and bike or hike or run at their lunchtime. They want to be able to come to work. So bringing the community into the planning, as has been referenced here, is so important, and I encourage everyone here to make sure that happens as part of the process. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Further citizen comment?
Good evening, Mark Palenero, 1011 12th Street, also Summers. Special recognition to the man from here tonight in speaking his opinion of the value here. So it speaks volumes to where you'll be in the future, maybe sitting up in a youth governor position. Keep that in mind. Current chairman of the town of Summers, last week we passed a resolution support for this project. The village board also passed that, I believe, the week before, about last month. We recognize not only that it's important for Summers, a resident lives along the Pike River. I had, when I first moved in about 18 years ago, I believe I had 5.5 acres. I haven't measured it recently, but I suspect it's under 5 now. I know this project isn't anywhere near me personally, but we understand in Summers the importance of what has been done to date, that recognition and appreciation should go to the administration, county administration, as well as the supervisors who have been involved and supported. Clearly, this is critical that we get the dollars that are available with the matches that we have. It's far better than trying to foot that bill on our own. But what's critically important is what this does for the region. You heard a number of people speak here this evening. Those groups sitting up on the left here, the fishermen, Brookpike Wind. There's a great organization, grassroots, some of the guys live in my neighborhood who are out every year in the fall cleaning up the Pike River. So when you talk about wanting to have ownership and the need to involve the community, we have a great infrastructure right now in Washington County. I think you've got to make sure that you continue to do that, continue to leverage it. And the only way you're going to make sure that you have an impact is that the heavy lifting, which is the kind of dollars and the types of projects that you're talking about with this resolution and the support this evening, allows the guys and gals and kids who come out every weekend in the fall and other times in between to do what they do, allows them to have a much greater impact if they're not trying to battle something that they simply cannot get their arms around. Right? So this is the next phase. I hope it continues. I hope at some point in time it gets overdone by me. I suspect it will. It's an incredible asset to Kenosha County. And again, I wanted to say thank you for all that you've done to this point in time. Petrified Springs looks phenomenal. The other restoration work that's been done to date is incredible, and I think it's just going to continue to grow. So I appreciate all that you're doing. Heads up to the administration.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. My name is S.R. Mills. I'm with Bear Real Estate Group here tonight on behalf of the potential relocation of the Kenosha County Job Center. I'm here to answer the questions that you might have, because it appears mine in the audience here, so just wanted to say we're here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any further citizens like you to address the gathering here?
About 2 miles of severely eroded stream banks the stream bed gets wider. So now the river bed is 16 feet wider. It becomes waters of the state because it's a navigable waterway. Well, what happened to all that land that disappeared? Well, it eroded down the river and into Lake Michigan, and with it, all the pollutants. And that erosion and pollutant loading is still happening today. And so we're talking sediment, we're talking phosphorus, we're talking nitrates. We know that they really impact our river ecosystems, the Lake Michigan ecosystem. And so this plan has to happen. I mean, I really support Kenosha County participating in the restoration of the Pike River watershed, because it's a collective need that we join together to improve this watershed. We all have to take part in that. We have Father and Mama are doing whatever we can to reduce stormwater entering that river, and it's time we really started doing that throughout the watershed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any citizens like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Benjamin Benninghoff. I'm a runoff management field supervisor with the Department of Natural Resources. I'm here tonight maybe to tell a little bit different than in support or not, but let you know how the department can support you as you think about your efforts to restore the Pike, South Branch of the Pike River. We have an impaired water, and one of our goals through the Clean Water Act is to have fishable and swimmable waters. So we set forth these goals, and we target different pollutants that might be causing those impairments. So one of those impairments is phosphorus, and so there's different techniques that we use to do that. In efforts to clean up our waterways, as we heard from the first speaker today, there is restoration plans. The sewer pack put together a restoration plan. That plan went through review and approval from the Department of Natural Resources and the US EPA, and what that means is now this plan, which is considered a 9-key element watershed plan, is available for additional federal funding. So that gives us a little backdrop towards the ways that the department can support this effort. In these impairments, we also eventually have to develop total maximum daily loads. Essentially, think of TMDLs, of these total maximum daily loads, as diets, the diets that the waterways have to go on to meet that fishable swimmable goal. And so this plan gives us the roadmap by which to reach those targets and goals, and the department supports those in a variety of ways. So the ways that myself and my team can support this is you look to submit applications towards some grant funding, whether through the department or through the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. We can help with the application process. We can help with letters of support. We can help even when we heard a little bit earlier today about the public outreach, looking for our partners that we have with the county staff and also Brook Pike Wind, who we've worked on some other recent projects with in Racine County. And so there's a lot of different ways we can help out with the education and outreach side of things. So the role here that I have is really to support the county in their efforts as you decide how to move forward, and we really appreciate any thought and consideration to reach those goals.
Thank you for your comments. For the citizens' comment.
Chairman, members of the board, my name is Rob Stetcher. I've been a Kenosha County Highway employee since 2014. Kenosha County is one of the fastest growing areas in the state of Wisconsin. Since 2000, Kenosha County's population has a growth rate of 12.6%, higher than the state or the national growth rates of 6% and 9.7% respectively. Anyone that has driven in Kenosha County has seen the increased traffic congestion in the area. To help alleviate some of this traffic congestion, the state of Wisconsin Department of Transportation is widening Highway 50 from 4 lanes to 6 lanes. The largest Kenosha County highway project in history is entering its second and final year of construction. Highway S project involves transforming what was a 2-lane rural road grade the heavy snow and ice-covered roads to keep them clear for residents and visitors. We hear many times how much nicer the roads are as soon as you cross over the border into Kenosha County. We don't have special salt, we don't have special equipment, but we do have special workers that work at the highway department. Sometimes we're willing to work up to 16 straight hours, 7 days a week, to keep these roads safe. Unfortunately, some of our plow trucks have not been approved to be replaced in a timely manner, and some even qualify to have collector's plates. Snowplow truck number 135, for example, is a 1978, and truck number 154 is a 1998. These trucks are older than most of my coworkers, and while we have an incredible mechanic team, a 43-year-old truck is just not reliable. When it's not snowing, my coworkers and I perform many maintenance duties on the road and in the right-of-way. Many of you know that we fill 2 30-yard roll-off construction dumpers with garbage every single week. 7 days a week, in fact, we're out picking up garbage and road hazards off the roadways. That's a lot of garbage and a lot of miles driven. Unfortunately, some of our Chevy work trucks also have not been approved to be replaced in a timely manner. For example, Chevy truck number 108 has 484,000 miles on it. Truck number 114 has 384,000 miles on it. Historically, an expensive engine needs to be replaced on these trucks about 300,000 miles. And over the past 4 years, half of the highway department workers have left to go to other jobs. One of the main reasons they leave is higher or competitive wages and better benefits at other municipalities or companies with similar work. I came here tonight to thank you for considering the pay grade change the highway department workers and mechanics. I hope you will approve the 2022 budget before you that includes an increase in equipment replacements. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any further citizen comment? Going once, going twice. Citizens County, closed. Thank you very much for your attendance. We appreciate it. Please do stay for the balance of the meeting. I'm so inclined. Next, we have review and approve 2022 proposed budget and CIP projects. You can see that they're listed here, A, B, C, D, and F. Each committee member should have in front of them a summary entitled DPWS 2022 budget. And it has a summary to begin, and that's where I'd like to start this evening. So who is going to start us on the overview? Mr. Cuthbert.
Is this thing working?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Cool. Okay, thanks for everyone to come. I really want to thank all the speakers. You guys added dimension and
Tula?
Maybe we have another copy of the DPWS 2022 budget for Supervisor Rudolph, please.
Sure. I'll start over. I really want to thank all you folks for coming. You had a totally different dimension to what the numbers do, so thanks again for coming. Okay, everyone should have a handout that looks like what Chris put up here on the board. We really don't expect you to be able to read everything that shows up here, but at least we'll be able to tell you what page we're on and be able to call attention to what you have. So what I'd like to talk about first is just kind of an overall summary of the Department of Public Works and Developmental Services. Wendy, I don't think she, I don't know if she, did you get one of these handouts?
I have them online.
Okay. All right. So the top box is a summary of the Public Works, what our operations budget is going from 21 to 22. There's a real simple breakdown there between revenue, which is levy and non-levy, and then our expenses. So for levy, moving from 21 to 22, we have an increase from 13.3 million to 13.8 million, about $500,000, or a 3.5% increase in non-levy revenue. And our levy is going up 2.9%. I believe the increase that was suggested by the county board was keeping under 3. On the expense side, personnel is by far our biggest chunk of our expenses, represents about two-thirds maybe, and that is salaries and benefits. So we have an increase in the personnel area from 13 million up to 13.6, or a 4.8% increase. Our other expenses only went up 1%. And we'll be going into those personnel changes in a little minute here. As far as capital spending goes, the total county capital spending is a little over 62 million. And the Public Works Department is responsible for 90% of the spending on those projects. When it comes to bonding, the total bonding for 22 is 25.8 million, and Public Works is responsible for about 82% of that bonding. Well, actually, we're not responsible, all the departments are. We just take care of it for them. Levy, total levy, Barna, I think this is the one without the library in, is 72.7 million. Our levy is, for next year, is 8,557. We're responsible for close to 12% of the levy. I think the only two departments that are bigger than us is Human Services and Sheriff. As far as ARPA funding goes, Finance Director Merrill had promised we would talk about how much ARPA funding was in our budget. So for 22, in the highway operations area, there's $90,000 with ARPA funding. And for the Highway S project, next year to finish paying for that project, we'll use $3 million of ARPA funding. And we'll use another $1.5 million of ARPA funding for other county paving projects. Everybody know what ARPA is in the room? Okay. The bottom box that gives information about full-time equivalents, we put down a comparison of the full-time equivalents that our various divisions within the department had back in 2010. And you can see that there's our total, this is full-time equivalents, this doesn't include seasonal people that we have to hire for the parks or golf or maybe for the highway department in the summer. These are full-time employees. Back in 2010, it was 139.5. The big difference there between going back to 2010 and 21 and 22 is planning and development, where there's been less people. But going from 21 to 22, next year, we have three full-time employees that we're asking to be budgeted. There's one in the facilities, a custodian, a new full-time custodian. That will actually bring us back to where we were 12 years ago, up to 32 people in that department. Golf is flat. And we'll talk about each of these people, these justifications, and when we get to that department. But I'm just telling you there's three. And the parks is a parks special project coordinator, which is a very similar position in parks that we have in our facilities division because of the number of events and the, I'm going to use the word plethora of things that are going on that require a special projects person to keep track of. And then in highway, we had a few years ago a senior project engineer who left the county. We're planning on hiring back another senior engineer in the highway department. As far as what's just happening with the payroll, Rob spoke about asking you folks to approve their budget. When we move from the 21 budget to 22, in the 22 budget, it's just as it is in 21, it's built in for every employee if they get a successful evaluation. And Claire, you just yell at me if I say something wrong. They're eligible for a 3% increase. So what Human Resources did, in addition to that, and administration is in the budget, is taking, we have a lot of different pay ranges. We have pay ranges for
Can we have Claire clarify that? She kind of went like, that's kind of right, it sounds all
right. That's right.
Claire, go ahead.
I'll just add a little clarity to that. So,
will you take the microphone and actually hold it up to your mouth so we can hear better?
How's that?
Better.
Okay. Employees who are within the pay grade at their anniversary, if they have a successful evaluation, they receive 3% of the midpoint. So it might be a little more than 3 or a little less than 3, but it is about 3%.
Thank you for that clarification.
So in addition to that, all of the various pay grades, there's for non-exempt employees, there's, I forget the number of pay grades, 8,000. And then for salary employees, there's also a number of pay grades with a low, a medium, and a high. And for the 22 budget, all those pay grades have been raised up, the low, the medium, and the high, 1%.
Further comments there?
And in addition, specifically for our divisions, the custodians have been, their grade, which used to be, I think it was an 81, which is a pretty low non-exempt number, they bumped in the budget everybody up to an 83. So that's all built into the budget. So custodians who are in the lower end of our pay scale, and we have a lot of turnover in that department. And so that is, I heard at Finance Committee the other night that they were looking for ways to attract and retain people at that kind of job. So that will help greatly in that area. And also in the highway department, our highway truck driver laborers who were in NE7 are going up to an NE8. So that just means that their whole pay grade is going up, so they are eligible to receive more in the future. Again, a really tough job for us to find people to hire, so it's a big attraction and retainment. So there's a lot of positives that are built into this budget for our employees. So that's kind of a wrap up, the summary of how big, small Public Works is, big numbers. So if anybody's got any questions about that before we move on to the first department.
be addressed. Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. I guess I'll leave it to Jimson. I want to just kind of dig up the races a little bit. Do you want to do that now or do you want to do that later?
The races?
Yeah. I guess my question is, what's the dollar amount? Because I don't know off the top of my head, I'm sure most of us don't, what the dollar amount is from a tier one to a tier three. What is that?
In like an hourly amount for an employee or in all aggregated together for that group of people for that division?
So like you singled out custodians and then we've heard from one of our highway employees tonight. What does that look like? Do you have those numbers?
I can tell you what the midpoint is per hour for those grades, but totaling up for all the people for all the hours, I don't have that number.
So do you have a number, I don't know, it might be able to answer that too, for a custodian, what is a starting custodian at now versus at this is for what are they?
Yeah, that's what we're going to tell you here. You just got to look it up. Chris will find it. Good question.
Signing
Grace, I see a yes and I see a no.
Barbara says it's housekeeping and it will be amended in the document.
Okay.
So I wanted to just kind of get all this payroll total information kind of out on the front end. If we come to the department and you got another question about it, go ahead and ask, that's fine. But it's overall, we think that the things that are in this budget will help us attract and retain people in a couple of the areas where we're really having a hard time because there's a lot of competition out there.
Yeah, I just want to add something to that too, to echo what Jim said. We've actually been pushing to make some adjustments because from a recruitment standpoint as well as a retention standpoint, both Mike's operation and facility as well as the highway department, it's been a real challenge. And this makes a significant step in the right direction in terms of our ability, I think, to recruit and retain folks going forward in really what are critical roles. So again, I really appreciate the work that Human Resources did on this past year. This should definitely impact our ability to keep folks and improve folks for us folks who retire.
So if I understand correctly, the takeaway message here is custodians are to attract and retain, and also the laborers for the highway department. Those seem to be two of the most difficult to keep the positions filled, is that correct?
Yes, and the mechanics, as Jim indicated too, mechanics in the highway department as well, and that's why those are the three classifications we'll see in adjustment.
We're going to thank you for that summary. Jim, carry on.
Yeah. Okay, page two. The handout. This is something we put together. It's a real high-level summary. The top box is the budget. Let's just look at the left-hand column for. And that's the 21 budget for income. It is a little over $3 million. The expenses are budgeted a little over $3 million, and then there's no levy. Then the next box down is that same information for 2022. And the third box on the bottom is the increases and decreases from 21 to 22. So if you're looking through your budget book before any, or after this meeting, before any of the other meetings, you want to just a glimpse at what went up and what went down by either income or expenses. You can look at that bottom box. And that's the way we present the rest of this. We try to focus on the big changes, what increase in revenue or decrease, and what increase in expense or decrease. And we use this bottom box here as our guideline. It's rounded to thousands of dollars, and there's a column for the various divisions within public works. We presented something like this before, so you can take a look at it. We'll delve into the details, but tonight after this meeting, you go home, you want to restudy everything that you were told, and you might want to look at that box. And at the bottom, you can see the increase or decrease in levy by division, with our total division being 2.9% increase in levy.
Questions on page two, comments on page two. So if I understand here, Jim, I take a look at this, I'm just going to use golf as an example. This is the first left. 2021 revenue, basically $3 million. 2022, we're down $3.1 million, and the revenue increase or decrease would be, what, $64,000, is that correct, if I read vertically?
Perfect.
And so that applies to each particular division here. You can just go vertically down the page and come to your conclusion at the bottom.
This information is also in the budget book. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to look at, but the budget book is extremely accurate and really gets it down to the finest little maps, you know what, an accuracy. But this is a good summary if you're looking for that.
Questions, comments on page two to this point? Supervisors? Supervisor Norgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify on that
There's a 21 levy. Oops.
Levy portion.
That's just a levy increase, yeah. Top box has a levy revenue. The middle box has a levy revenue for 22.
Okay.
The change is divided into the 21 levy.
Thank you.
Okay. Very well. Shall we proceed along to?
Yeah, the next department we want to talk about it. We talked about this at the PDAC meeting. The UW extension is technically does not report or accumulate into the Public Works Department. Their budget was approved by the PDAC committee last week. But we always bring it up here because there's oversight that's provided by the administrative people in the Public Works Department, such as Ray, who helps Terry and Terry's predecessors, and then by Chris and myself and our staff, who we do a lot of bookkeeping, we help them with their budget. Wendy has helped over there for several years, taking over when the people, when they need administrative help because they don't have a big department. So we present their budget here as information, and we seek your approval on it. We will go to the Finance Committee anyway, just like all the other budgets do. But page three, and the UW Extension really has three departments. They have like an office department that has the biggest budget is the people that we use to provide these services to the citizens of Kenosha County. We sign a contract with UW Extension or with UW, and they provide these people. They also have other costs on page three in this department. There's data processing. You can look at the supplies and travel. The total expense, which is all levy in 2021 for this particular department, then you go extension last year or this year, it's $208,000. Next year, it's $231,000. If you go to page three, or excuse me, page, is it five? Page five in your packet. This explains the increase from 2021 to 2022. The way UW system bills us, we have, there's a FTE number there, and then there's the cost that they charge us for that person. This is the same charge that they charge anybody in the state for that person. So in 2021, we have full-time equivalents of 4.6. Next year, it'll be total full-time equivalents of 5, and the difference is a person being added, 4-H educator, going from 0.6 up to 1 full-time. That's our biggest department where we have the most people and the most volunteers. So we want to increase that to provide better service. UW has also given us a little bump in salaries per job. Most of these jobs full-time were at 42,300. They bumped it up to 43,600. And they also have discontinued the professional development expense that they've given us in prior years of $2,500. They still give us the multi-person discount. So this component, this is one line item in the UW extension, but it's the biggest one. The increase here is $21,000. So the other two departments, look back to page four in UW Extension, they have a program budget where they give classes and they charge back people who take these classes. It's a non-levy budget. We put in some estimates for what we think we'll collect in expenses or what we'll collect in revenue and the appropriate expenses to go with that. So we have a little bit of an increase from 21 to 22. We hope the volume go up, but at the end of the day, there's no levy. It costs us nothing. We generally make a little bit of money in this, and we do have some carryovers. This came up in UW extension that from many years back, but they are not included here in this budget. We plan to break even. The bottom part is the third department, the UW Extension After School Program, where we have expenses for our employees if they do work for any of the, like Unified or any school district, where we would help them with their after school projects, and we would turn around based on our expenses we have. We bill back these people who are providing the service. again, we budget it at living neutral to make a little bit of money. That's a good thing, but we're not in it to make money. We're just in it to cover our costs. So these two departments are budgeted at no levy. The other department is budgeted at increase, which in addition to what UW charges us, there's an increase in, there's a little bit of an increase in public liability insurance. And the other thing we have there is we want to next year hire a temporary person, a seasonal person, to, I don't know if all you guys have walked around out here and seen the beautiful garden and the trees and the walking paths. So we'll have somebody come in who can help on that, keep that project up to date and maintain the area. So there's a $6,500 increase for that person too, no benefits. So that is pretty much it for UW Extension. I think some of you who are on the other committee have probably seen this already, so.
Questions or comments on extension? Seeing none, look for motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Nominal move. Berg seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Seeing none, this portion of the budget passes. Thank you.
Thank you. We can now move on to page 6. This is the Planning and Development Department. There's no new headcount in this department. The levy increase is, I can't remember the exact percentage, it's 7.4% and it's $42,000. Okay, in their personnel category, there's no new people in there. Those are just the scheduled raises that are built in for next year. And any changes in benefits that we know about, the way I got a hand to the budget department, they really get this down to person, and they try to give the best estimate of if that person's going to have single benefits or if they're going to have family benefits. And so we really try to get down to that level in order to do the budget. So the personnel expenses are going to go up $15,000. The contracted services area, which includes professional services and any consulting, is going to go down $6,000. And supplies are flat, and fixed expenses are up a couple thousand dollars. And there's an item there called inspection services. For next year, we've been, Director Bueller and I have worked with several of the municipalities in Kenosha County to see if they would like us to take over part of the service that they provide to their local people for inspection services. Right now, we issue some permits here in planning development, but there's a lot of other permits, local or building permits or deck permits or pool, whatever, those kind of things are done locally. And some of these municipalities have asked us to take it over. And the three that we've been working with, there's Brighton, there's Paris, Randall. Not that I forget Randall, I just forget that they're one of the people. So they've asked us to take over their services. And we, based on our analysis, those three municipalities would have about $100,000 a year in revenue. And what they do is they have to hire these inspectors and pay them. And then any money that's left over, these are little profit centers for these folks. They will take that extra money and they will use it to supplement other parts of their budget. So when we do this, and we hope to get it done by the middle of the year, if everything goes right, it's not for sure, it's not for certain, but it's in our plan that we would have to spend the same amount of money that we make. We cover our costs, and anything that's additional in there, we would have to give back to these municipalities because it's happening right now. So we're not going to make money, but it will be a service to people who are looking for permits in those areas. Instead of having to come here to get some permits and go there to get other permits, hey, it's a one-stop shop. And we'll probably, I don't want to say we'll be more efficient, but I think we'll be more efficient just because we do this stuff all the time. We have a system, so it benefits the residents of these municipalities. We've talked to other municipalities. Right now, these are the three that are ready to go. So you see $50,000 worth of inspection services under the 22 budget, and you see $50,000 worth of revenue. So that program will cancel it out, and we can do that with our existing staff. Don't need anybody else. So it's a win-win for the residents, and we can do it without hiring anybody else. So on the revenue side, there's land, conservation, state aid, that's no change. Permit fees, we think, will go up a little bit. The summer's revenue, in 21, we had budgeted, we had not realized that $50,000 for the 21 budget, so we knocked it down a little bit for 22. That more closely resembles the actual revenue we've gotten from, we have a contract with this for Summers to provide some services. Is it for
Andy?
For what? Planning services for Summers. The development review verification, that sometimes we have to hire people to come in and do these kind of reviews for development purposes. And we will bill that back, we get revenue back for that. The carryover is for 21. We had some unspent expenses in 20 that we carried over to 21 to pay for some contracted services that are in the 21 budget. So the levy goes up $42,000 for this particular department. The next page is page 7. This is the capital outlay budget for the Planning and Development Department. It really consists of one large project, and that is the South Pike project. When you look at the project in its entirety, who here has not seen any of the presentations that we've done? I think you all have seen those. We've done it a few times. We talked about this in other committees, so I know some of you folks are on that committee. So the total cost of the project is going to be, by the time we're all done, about $16.5 million. We spent some already. But for the 22 budget, there's an amount of $2,243,000. That's $188,000 worth of design. The total plan for design, we think, will cost double that. But RVCorp is picking up half of it, and we have to pick up the other half. And then the land component that we will have to spend next year is the balance. It's a little over $2 million. It all adds up to $2,243,000. That's the budget for 22, and then overall, we are expecting, well, Army Corps has promised us $10 million, and then we feel very confident that we can go out. You've heard all these people speak about the potential for grants or contributions in the future. We have nothing. And we have some grants right now that help pay for our design and some of the prep work we've done, but we feel confident we can go out and get grants in the future. If you're a grantor and you're one of the organizations that these people have talked about, and you know that the Army Corps is going to put up that kind of money, it goes a long way towards our ability to get those grants, and you've heard everybody speak. So I don't know if Ray or Andy want to add anything more that we haven't talked about as far as this is the only project for planning and development.
I would just say that echo what Jim's already said, what the folks have said tonight, if the committee's got any questions of everybody, but the program, I hope we've been pretty transparent and explanatory over the past month to get information about this to the committee and actually the rest of the board. So yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to make a significant kind of legacy impact to a key watershed in East and the county. the most significant watershed of the East Central County. That would improve not only environmentally things, economically, would bring value to the equation, as well as quality of life. So it kind of hits, it checks all the boxes. And the fact that the Army Corps is putting up a significant amount of money, $10 million, to fund a significant portion of it, this is really, this is, as Jim explained in the paper, one of his comments was, this is kind of the heavy lifting portion of this project. It's the headwaters. So this is what gets things started, really has the biggest impact on the overall watershed. It all needs to be addressed, but this is going to bring a significant benefit to the table right off the bat. So that's all I have to say.
Questions or comments as it relates to planning development? Supervisor Franco.
Yeah, Ray, we were all here when the presentation was done. So is the Army Corps' commitment that's in the bag if this passes?
So the way they explained it to us, and they sent us a number of notes to clarify. So being a good federal agency, they will not use the term, it's in the bag. But they indicate very strongly that this is almost a fait accompli. There are still hoops, bureaucratic hoops that they need to do internally, but it's as close to saying it's in the bag as they can, that they're actually allowed to say. So that's my best explanation for it. Most accurate.
Is there a point where the commitment will be in the bag, so to speak?
Yes, there's something they need to do yet, but it requires us to do some more stuff first. And then they can give, so I believe like next March, I think is the time frame.
Correct.
Thanks for it. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Chair.
Supervisor Belsky.
So one thing I'd like to clarify from the last meeting, he said it's up to 10 million or 50, I forgot the percentage of the money.
65%
of the overall budget. So that's.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if the whole project cost comes in less, then that 10 million would be reduced, but it would still be 65%. We're anticipating it to be 16.5 million or 16.
And that's what he said as well.
Yep.
But I just wanted to clarify that.
Yep.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. We did a feasibility study on this, correct? And was. Go ahead.
Yes.
And did that look at just phase one or the entire
phase one?
Have we done any feasibility studies on the entire branch?
So Andy.
Yeah, so originally when we started collecting data, we were looking at the full reach of the south branch from Highway K to Highway E. But then as the studies went along and Army Corps started to run their numbers, it started to become that it was going to exceed their limit, as was already indicated, and then all the extra would be on the locals. So to bring that down, we cut the project in half, so it's just from the first, you know, the project area right now is Highway K to Highway S. So we have some data, Supervisor Rodriguez, that we gathered for anything in the future, but all the focus now has been on the area between S and K.
So do you have a dollar amount for the future?
We do not.
So what did the county hear then from whoever conducted that feasibility study? What was the dollar amount that they said that made us backtrack with the Army Corps and say, look, that's too big of a project. Let's go down to 16 million. What was the number?
Well, they saw that it was going to exceed getting into the 20 to 30 million for the entire project. If it was going to be from K to Highway E.
Through the chair, Supervisor Rodriguez, they said the Army Corps engineer said 10 million is the cap.
No, I understand that. You're saying that the entire project as a whole, at one point, was thought to maybe it's up to or exceed $30 million product. Okay.
Well, when they said that this chunk was going to cost $16 million and they're going to give 10, and we have to match 65%, and anything over that, if it costs $20 million, we have to come up with the extra $10 million. So when they came up with this estimate for the first chunk, we said, okay, that's all we can afford.
So So if we did more than what is being proposed, we'd be bound to paying for it. We couldn't do it. I'm confused as why.
So I think the way I look at it is, once we found out how the game was played, 65% up to a maximum of $10 million, we said, okay, what's 16 and a half million? What can we get done for that? So we did it kind of the other way. What can we do to optimize the amount of money we can leverage from the Army Corps?
Okay. And we're thinking, and maybe Dave, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that in future phases, we still have the ability to go back to the Army Corps to that same grant program and apply for another $10 million. As the project, as phase one gets done, then they can look at, okay, what's needed in phase two. Phase one is the most important part of that whole stretch. So that's why the focus also was on phase one between K and 142.
So we're, I'm thinking, looking at the map, I think I have it here in front of me, but phase one is less than half of the distance of the South Branch, correct?
It's about half, but because going further north of Highway E becomes a little more difficult for restoration, and Palmer and Hollow is in there, and so they have the ability to do some of that. But if you look from Highway K to Highway E, and Highway S, right?
And phase, do you anticipate on doing it phase two and then we're done, or phase two, phase three?
All depends on funding.
So let's just assume we do it in two phases. Phase two, then, there's a good chance that it's less than phase one because we don't anticipate on quite as much land acquisition because of how wide we want the very, the,
correct,
whatever the term is, for the start of the river on the South Branch, or, you know, however you want to describe it. We don't anticipate that being that wide, correct?
Correct. The land is just not available to be able to spread out as much as it is in the current project area.
And I know I stated in the past that I like this project. I think this is a project that we need very much so. It's a project that I spoke with the county executive on my 3.5 years on the county board, that this was something that we need done. I'd like to ask through the chair, to Mr. Molinaro, if you're willing, as being a representative of the town of Summers, your time with the town of Summers and your time on the county board as well, how often did you hear about how big of an issue this was for the people that you represent?
Every day.
Or is it?
Yeah, and obviously every day. There are sections of the river from K all the way through, all the way off the plain, right? I mean, and everything in between that has been problematic. So as we continue to pick off pieces of it, it's critically important to what, to the bigger picture, the broader scope of what we're trying to accomplish. I could agree more that starting at the top end of this thing and what we're talking about between K and S is, will have the largest impact of anything we've had today.
And in your experience, this isn't just, you know, somebody's backyard flooding, as we might see residents who live on Highway EA, for example. This is people's livelihoods as well are affected, correct? Farmers.
Without question, it's not just because people's livelihoods who are small-scale operations. So, you know, when you impact a farmer or a business along that along the river that is that doesn't have the financial capabilities that the larger companies do, it's a significant impact. And you can look at everything from the individual property owners to the country club and the flooding that goes on there. Last year, this year was phenomenal for everybody. If you want to look at it that way, the year before, I think they were shut down for almost 2 weeks total because of the flooding that goes on. And it certainly isn't because it's flooding specifically at that location, but as we know, it's all upstream. You know, Ray's point, I disagree with, certainly echo Ray's comment and what was said over here by Dave. You know, the key here is to get this first $10 million, get done what you can get done, then go back to the trough. You know, these federal dollars are out there. Shame on us if we don't continue to ask over and over and over again. One message I think that's critically important here as well is that this isn't just about Summers or the communities that are directly along the river. This is Kenosha County. What you've got to do is look at what we've done with our park system, our trail system, all of the quality of life.
make. And then last, to, I think Dave, you're probably best poised to answer, make anybody else feel free. When we're done with this project, how many years then are we set for with proper maintenance? How long is this project going to last us?
It's probably 50 years.
That's all I have. And then since because of, you know, the answer is that Dave and I spoke at length about this, Ray and I have as well. Kind of knew the answers to these questions. I'm just trying to highlight the importance of this project and the opportunity is now. I've been speaking with the county executive for years now. We're getting, you know, one step closer to the Army Corps, one step closer. Now it's here. I'm going to urge everybody on this committee and the rest of the board, when it gets to that point, we can't pass this on. So I'm going to be supporting this. Thank you.
Chair.
Supervisor Belsky.
I asked a lot of questions at our first meeting, and I will embarrassingly admit that I didn't realize that it flowed north, because that was never mentioned. And that's why I couldn't understand, they were telling you specifically, I couldn't understand how that would help the main branch. Now I totally get it, and I understand you started where the headwaters are, and how it would help the pipe come back into the Pike River. And so I completely support this project.
Thank you for your comments. Supervisor Udo.
Thank you. I've been talking about this quite a bit to our dealer committee, potentially, or sort of everything. I'm going to try to be short. I think it's a great project. However, the thing that I'm worried about is the financial part of it. Here we are needing about $16 million. Up to $10 million will come from the federal government. And the other money, they say that we can get grants, donations from individuals or whatever. We did not get anything on that yet. So we're saying that we're going to bump $2 million this year. To me, it's more like $6 million. We have some projects now that they say they have money in grants or donations. We started the project, we did spend a lot of money already. We did not get any grants or donations. In fact, some of the money was to be spent in this budget with the 2022. I see that, I know it's a different one, but I see that now they moved it back to 2023 and 2024. The reason is because they cannot get any money, but we already spent over $1 million just to get to the point. I think that's what's going to happen here before. I heard some of the other municipalities that they say they fully support it. That's the resolution. However, none of the resolution that they passed, I see where they're throwing any money in. In fact, one of the officials that they passed the resolution, he said, and he made it clear, I just want to be very clear, there's no financial commitment on the city's part. This is strictly funded by the county, as well as other funding sources they may have. Basically, what they're saying is they just joined the county, and they said, well, sure, we didn't want it, but the county got it, so it's great that we get it now. I understand there were some studies done. By the time we get done with all the phases, whether it's two, three, four phases, wherever they are, I think that runs into over $50 million. That's the number that I heard, somewhere between 50 and 100 million. Now, in looking at the total picture for the CIP, the 2022 CIP spending is a little over $62 million. In the 2021 budget, the total projected spending was $35 million. It's an increase of $27 million. Also, the 2022 budget projects 2023 CIP expenditures to be $41,967,000, when 2021 project was to be believed to be only $25 million. That's another increase of $16
million. Supervisor Bureau, I appreciate what you're talking about, but it's just apply specifically to planning and development, or is this a larger budget question for the entire budget? Because we're on planning and development now.
Well, that's part of the planning and development.
Well, get to the chase.
I'm talking about the financial.
we would have liked to hear what the financial responsibility
is. Well, we can this hear that if we do the entire budget. We're not on the entire budget.
But we should take that into consideration, too, what we're going to spend in planning and development with the old budget overall.
Certainly.
So right. That's a consideration. That's what I'm saying. Not translating. I'm giving my opinion or my reasons why I'm going to be voting no, because the old budget, I cannot put a $302 million for the 2022 budget.
Understood.
That's part of this. Good. You guys don't want to hear, you don't want to hear, that's fine. So I'm going to be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. On planning development, anything further? If not, entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Berg and Belsky in that order for motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Roll call. Beginning with Supervisor Belsky.
Aye.
Your Supervisor Newell.
Oh. Aye.
Chair votes aye.
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 Rico.
Aye.
Aye.
This portion of the budget passes for this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Bert.
Thank you very much. We will continue with the facilities division. Oh, by the way, in this handout, in case you didn't notice it, we always put on top where the actual budget pages are. So if you have to go back and match it up against that, you can do that. So the facilities budget really consists of three large departments. There's what we call the Civic Center division, I guess, which is every building except for the Job Center and the PSP. Then there's the PSP building, and there's the Job Center building. And these are all the facilities expenses, utilities, custodians. So I remember last year, and I remember very specifically, it was Supervisor Franco who reminded us that maybe we could do a little bit better job in our presentation of separating out those departments. So, this year, on page 11, we give a real, real detailed breakdown of those three departments that you can go back and match up to the budget book, because I'm sure you might want to do that. But we summarize them on page 10, because from a budgeting perspective, we can really cross-charge, move expenses between departments for the budget resolution, as long as we don't exceed for the entire facilities division this number. So when we look at it as a whole, we kind of look at these numbers on page 10. So I don't know if anybody went through the budget book and had any questions about what three departments have to what's on this page, but this is the way we look at the total. So we can look at either what's on this page, I'll run through what the total is. If we really need any more detail, we can refer to page 11 to go into those departments. And the reason we break it out that way is because the expenses for the public safety building, we charge back about a little less than half of it gets charged back to either Joint Services or the city for their portion of the PSB. So we have to track those expenses separately, and when you look at the bottom of page 11 on the revenue column, the PSB, which is the second from the left column, there's $977,000 out of the expense total of $1,006,000 that we charge back to Joint Services or the city. And likewise, the Human Services Division, we separate that out, track it separately, because there's all kinds of different outside organizations that we accumulate our expenses for and charge back to these various other people. And they pay a portion of utilities, they pay a portion of custodians. And when you look at that particular department on page 11, we add it all up. And the total is, it all basically gets charged back to somebody else. So that is really a no levy department within, or division within this total facilities. But we do break it out so we can track these expenses, because there's lots of grants. We have to get really detailed information about what we spend in order to draw money down on those grants. And also, just on a PSD, we have to provide these numbers to the city and to Joint Services, and we have several conversations with them. And our increase in a safety building rental that we charge, the increase in our charge out from 21 to 22 was about 1.4%. So both the city and Joint Services were happy that their expenses only went up 1.4% as their charge from 1 year to the next. So I'm going to flip back to page 10 and just run through. This is one of those departments where we're hiring an additional custodian. We'll be at headcount of 32 for that department, which is one more than last year, but about the same as we had a dozen years ago. And since that time, I think Ray asked me how much square footage we've added, or additional stuff we've added in, say, the last 10 years. Well, we for sure added space in the PSB building. It wasn't there. When did that get built, or really modified? Yeah. But we added a whole other floor a few years ago. We also have added the fleet maintenance building. We've added the sheriff's structure on their KCDC property. That's a new building we have to maintain. We bought properties downtown that we have to maintain the sidewalks in the Civic Center area. We built a couple new towers, one downtown and one on 60th Street that we have to maintain.
Brookside.
So, despite all those increases, you got to kind of add to the facilities guys for coming up with being more efficient. Oh, we've also hired and brought inside an electrician and a HVAC guy, and it saves expenses on the outside, and it kind of frees up the custodians. But these people, we don't have to call people in from the outside, so we can do stuff more efficiently and at a more reasonable cost. So there's been a lot of changes, but we're kind of at the breaking point. I think the last year or two, we want to make sure things get done. So for all those reasons, for all the extra space and all the extra things that COVID has required us to do, and we want to hire this additional person. And I think the total cost, it's in the budget book there someplace, but it's part of the increase in their personnel. And again, this is one of those departments where all the custodians got a double, or went up from any ones to any threes.
Question, Supervisor Berg.
So you asked about the square footage that you've increased in 10 years. I heard buildings, I heard all this. What was the actual square footage?
I calculated, and I didn't do the whole PSB. I took one just floor. And I didn't know what the square footage was for the, it was a little over 100,000 square feet. I didn't know what the square footage was for the towers. So and I think in total, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have 1.2 or 1.3 million square feet.
Yeah, and to summarize, I believe we added, it's going to be somewhere, I did the math, but not recently, it's north of 250,000 square feet that we added over that 10-year period. And there's two reasons that we haven't had to add staff. One is that pretty much all the space that was designed, whether it was Brookside or the Safety Building, the two biggest projects, there was an intentionality to the design to reduce maintenance. So literally to the point of, you know, we got the windows at Brookside that have the built-in blinds so that we can eliminate 80 hours a week, literally 80 hours a week time dusting blinds. The payback was like 8 months for all those types of windows to be installed. We calculated the Safety Building, you know, There's people that track this data, and literally how many footsteps it takes for folks to lose the dirt that's on their shoes before you get into a space that's going to be higher maintenance to take care of. And then we made the length of the vestibule that length. So there's an intentionality to the design. That's one piece of the puzzle. But the bigger piece of the puzzle is that in my operation, you
Matt Scarino's with him. He's our HVAC technician. Those guys have totally embraced lean manufacturing concepts, total continuous improvement. So they continue to do, they look at their processes and they continue to always improve things. So typically what happens in a government entity is when they add X number of square feet, they pull out a chart and they say, oh, okay, we got to add this many people. We didn't do that. We did the reverse of that. We tried to design things in a way that we wouldn't have to add any people and still maintain the same level of maintenance standards, which we've done a really good job of. So that's kind of what's happening. That's kind of laid the groundwork for this. But as Jim indicated, we're now at a point where we really do need to add a person. 10 years later, get us back to where we were 10 years ago with a whole bunch more space and grounds to take care of. It'll give Mike a lot more flexibility in his ability to cross-train and move staff from building to building. Again, something that's kind of unheard of in the government. Usually, Bob's at this building, Tony's at that building, Sue's at that building, and they don't work. And no, Mike's, all his staff is cross-trained. This will allow him to even do more of that. So that's the reason for the position ask. I think it'll be a good investment for us.
Chair.
Supervisor Kowalski.
Jim, on page 102 of the budget for the safety building, I can't relate to your document on page 10, the carryover of 1.143 million for the public safety building. Is that in contracted services? Does that hold up into that number?
Does it say capital on top of the section you're looking at? I think that's
yes.
Capital.
Yes.
That's capital investment.
So
for the what that is, that's for the tower project. Simulcast system.
Oh, okay.
So we had to carry over unspent money in the simulcast system from 20 to 21. I think it's done now.
Done.
So it'll be spent by the end of the year?
Spent.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime you see capital, I'm not sure.
Correct.
Anytime you see capital up in the chunk, that's not operating funds, it's capital. Or if you see like fund 411 or something like that, then it's capital money.
Supervisor Franco.
Yeah. Question, Ray. Purchasing a lot as a human services building, as a present building, why are we doing that? I'm just curious. Yeah, especially if we're considering.
Yeah, so that is basically that process was initiated prior to what's in play right now, the potential relocation for the operation. There's a you can picture the parcel. So if you look at the intersection of 85th and Sheridan, if you look straight down, the southwest corner, there's about a 1 acre lot there, a little over an acre if I remember right, where a guy sells Christmas trees right now. That is the only piece of the actual parcel, the footprint that the entire campus is on, that we don't own. And so the thought was, let's square that thing off. We can control our destiny then going forward. So that's in that process to purchase that contingent on board approval was started early in 2021. So before any talk about potentially moving the campus. So that is in there right now. It is one of the things that could make sense to still acquire, and it's part of the package of the parcel that gets bundled in. Sold as part of the overall arrangement with here, or it can hold out. It's kind of one of those things like made sense 6 months ago, maybe it still makes sense, maybe it doesn't. It's definitely not. It's one of those things that's worth bouncing around.
Or we could buy and get into the Christmas tree business.
That's always an option.
Thanks.
Sorry,
sir. Questions or comments on this particular area? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. My question, Jim, is on revenues. What is that jail traffic fines? What are those?
Yeah, it's more than just traffic fines. The county collects a whole bunch of different kind of fines, and they have a system whereby they allocate the revenue back to various departments. The sheriff gets some, and we get some. So every year they do this calculation, or every time they collect this money, it's and portion of it is chunked off to us. In the last, it's kind of historically, there's been less time, so we've been getting That's what they say. So we've been getting a lower percentage. Now, whether or not the total fines went up and somebody else is getting more, I just believe that when they tell them they're following their formulas.
Okay.
So that's what that is, our portion.
Thank you.
Anything further on this matter?
So I know if you don't have any more questions on the income and expenses, the page really to turn to is page 11, where we, or excuse me, page 12, which is all the capital. So there's a lot of numbers on here. I'll just kind of explain to you what this page is. You might have, we showed some of that in P&D, but there's only one project. The top part of this page is where it says facilities division. Let's see here. I get to use this weapon.
Yep.
Yeah, this top part here. This is the Civic Center division. Then we get into here, which is the safety building. This is the kind of stuff that Supervisor Prelsky was asking about. Capital that's specific to here, because we spend this money, we can charge a percentage of it back to, there's a captain, but there's an amount that we can contractually charge back. And then there's this section here, which is the human services building, which we will talk about here in a second. And then there's capital projects on the bottom. There isn't a whole lot here. I'll just, while we're on capital projects here, we, every year, we try to put in some money for HVAC replacement projects.
Specifically,
do I know exactly what's going to crap up? But no, something will. So we try to have some money there. We don't need it. We don't spend it. But $100,000 is a couple of rooftop units, and we've got 100 in the county. So that's what that capital budget number is. If we go back up to the top, there's a whole bunch of projects that are listed here by year that all fall within the Civic Center, which again is, it includes this building, it includes KCDC, it includes all the county buildings except the PSD and the Job Center. So if you want to just look down that list, if you've got any questions about those projects, I mean, Supervisor Franco asked about one of them already.
Thanks for doing that, Bob.
Supervisor Rudo.
Yeah, I have a question. On facilities 5, KCC office renovation and elevator.
What's your question? What is it?
My question is, I know we've been talking about this here for years. I mean, is that something that we need to do it now, or would that be done at a later date? I don't see where the... I mean, I know we've been talking about this list since 2006 when I first got on the county board. And so now all of a sudden it just comes in this year, which again, I don't know. I don't believe I'm
in favor
to
write
that down now.
Where are we at? Is this facility 5? Is that what we're looking at? Is that line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can speak to that. So I don't know anything about 2006. I know that when we moved, when we, as P&D had been kind of downsized over the years, as well as U of A Extension being downsized, we made a decision 2 years ago to move, consolidate those two departments and put them all in one office. So we did that project, actually moved everybody in, time flies, but I'm thinking it was late in 2019 going into 2020. And then the next logical thing was to take a look at that existing space that was the UW Extension Suite. What's the highest and best use for that? And we talked to the Sheriff's Department. We knew that we had to do something with the backup 911 center out here because it's been woefully inadequate, and Joint Services has actually been cited. When they get audited by, I forget the name of the law enforcement support agency that they kind of, is their industry, sets their industry standards, but our backup center has been woefully inadequate to the point where when there is an event, which happens once, maybe twice a year,
where they need to move dispatch operations out here, they also have to bring the Sheriff's Department's mobile command center and set that up in the parking lot at the same time, because the backup dispatch center isn't adequate to actually manage the situation. So because of that, there's been a long-term need to improve, expand, and improve the dispatch center. Then combined with the Sheriff's Department's move to try to make their operations more efficient and have, this is the geographic dead center of the county, and that's why this building was put here back in 97. The sheriff has wanted to operate his patrol functions out of here for that reason, and especially now since they've moved to the deputies taking squads home, you don't have folks all reporting, many of which those deputies live out in this western end, reporting down by the lake and then going in town and then coming back out, and the amount of inefficiencies associated with all that. He's already been trying to move towards centralizing patrol operations out here for the efficiencies given by the site. This remodeling the space out here to accommodate those patrol operations is what this is. That's one of the big pieces of this. The second piece of it is improving and expanding the backup dispatch center, as I already talked about. Third piece that it would bring to the table is our ability to expand in the main server room for this building. Again, this building was constructed before there were server rooms even given consideration. The space they're in now has kind of been cobbled together to provide space to this point. But we want to create some space there so we have space to accommodate IT needs into the future. Coupled into that, you know, I can geek out on this stuff, so I'm probably going to drill into this a little more than I need to. There's backup electric needed. We've been at the limit for what is under backup power for this building. There's obviously key functions that need to be under backup power for that operation down there in the garage so that we can function in the worst of conditions. Those are covered, and then some of the technological stuff is covered, but there's other things that need to be covered that aren't right now. So we need to do an electrical service upgrade on that end of the building as well. There's also another little piece related to election security, given kind of all the hoo-ha that was associated with the last election. There's the ability to create some totally secure space at minimal cost. It's really kind of almost an incidental piece, but it brings a lot to the table from the county clerk's perspective. We'd be able to do a minor tweak in the area for the elected official's office out here that would create the most robust election security system for per election equipment and ballots and so forth. So that's a little piece. Probably one of the biggest pieces is that we'd be able to put, we've determined we can put an elevator that would give us access to already existing 2,200 square feet of office space on the second floor that has never been accessible since the building was constructed in 97. In addition to that, there's another about 3,000, not quite. I know when we do it, there's some mechanical and storage space up there that we're going to pull like another 1,000 feet. We'll end up with about 3,000 square feet of space for a minimal investment. We can create a backup 911, backup EOC center up there as well. All of that is included in that $1.9 million over the 2 years. It's really a heck of an investment. Bang for a buck. We don't have to create a new building. That space, if we were to construct that space from, you know, virgin space, and it could be somewhere between $200 to $300 a square foot. So you can easily estimate just by us having access to the second floor, it's probably given us somewhere north of $500,000 worth of space, well north of $500,000 of space just by putting that piece. So there's about five or six benefits to doing it. It's a $1.9 million investment. I think it's a really good investment.
Questions or comments on this particular item we're talking about, which is Facilities 5? Supervisor, you don't want to carry on.
Basically, this all, it's not an urgent need to do it this year.
The only thing is, as it relates to the Sheriff's Department operation, the Sheriff is already kind of
job. He's trying to get it started. He can't really get it fully enabled until that space is complete. But if you come out here at 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll see there's about 10 squads, 8 to 10 squads, because this is, they're kind of starting to use this in a way. And then if you come in like 2:30 in the afternoon, shift change, same thing. So having that space available for the sheriff next year will really, really enhance the and make law enforcement delivery of services a whole lot more efficient than they are right now. That would be the sense of urgency.
Anything further on this particular item, which we're going to call Facilities 5? Supervisor Burr.
How old is our generator that we sold out?
Original to the building. So it's, yeah, I think it's 95. I got to look at the corner plaque. I think it's 95. This building.
Okay,
it's
not great.
It's 93. Thank you, Andrew. So this is 93. So the generator for the building is original from 93.
And from what I heard, the maintenance on it entails the fact that they don't make parts for it.
This one's
like, comes up in the back right there.
It's not quite to that point, but it's
a couple of years away.
Pretty darn close, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and you said it's maxed out right now.
It's maxed out.
So if we were to add anything.
Right. We don't have the ability to accommodate the backup 911 center with the additional equipment that will be in there.
Okay. Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you. Has the sheriff already indicated, I know we're talking back to 911, has the sheriff indicated at all, or anybody from Joint Services, the possible need in the future to not just have a backup 911 center, but expand 911 as the county grows?
So the center downtown, the main one, actually has room for expansion yet. We opened that in 2010. And at this point, I believe there's still two stations in there that are used. If you go up there, sometimes there's folks sitting in them, but they're not a fully enabled dispatch center or control dispatch console, I should say. So there's still room for expansion down there. What this would give them, though, is beyond having they have 8 seats out here in a full dispatch, fully enabled like the ones that are downtown, there'd be 8 of them, with the possibility to expand here. I think the 2 more is what we got figured. And, one of the key things they came up with was they'd be able to do their training out here, so they wouldn't have to interrupt operations downtown. So it brings some added efficiency. And as you're probably aware, Joint Services has had challenges recruiting and retaining dispatchers. It would make their training of those dispatchers much more effective out here. Nikki and Mike, the two folks that run the dispatch center, were thrilled that they'd be able to do that out here as well. So all of that's kind of included.
Okay, that's all on this question.
Anything further on this particular item?
Or
for the facilities in general? Supervisor Udo.
Facilities 11. Could you touch on that for a minute? Even though we had 0 for this year, but then we have 1.9 in 2023 and 1.9 in 2024. I don't think I can remember how much, but we had some money projected for this year. So could you touch on that for a minute?
Yes, I can hit the high points and I'll look to Frank to fill in some of the details if there's anything I don't get right. So basically what we've accomplished this year is we have, as was in the paper earlier this year, the Jeffers Foundation, which is a nationally, or maybe internationally recognized foundation that supports the restoration of critical historic buildings, has committed a challenge grant to us. So they've got $600,000 they put on the table. If we can raise the additional $1.2 million that we have to come up with for $1.8 million in total donations, $600 from the Jeffers Foundation, $1.2 from other community, can't be from the county, it has to be from donations from the community. And then that would cover the artistic historic part of the restoration of the project. The additional one, so that's about $1.8, $1.9 million, that side of it. The 1.8, 1.9 million, that is the, let's say, the mechanical and hard piece of that restoration that would be required. That would be covered by us as Bonnie. That would be the HVAC and the things related to kind of the non-sexy stuff of that restoration. So that's what's in play. We've got the commitment from the Jeffers Foundation for the $600,000. As part of that commitment, they gave us 3 years to raise the matching funds. We've engaged with a professional fundraiser to assist us in that process. A committee's been formulated that I believe retired Judge Wagner and former county executive John Collins had that fundraising committee up. And we've just actually finalized all that paperwork associated with that. So those fundraising efforts are going to start in earnest as we go into the end of the year. That 3 years to come up with the $1.2 million. And we're told by the professional fundraiser that this is very doable. And so that's kind of where things are at.
Anything else on that particular item for a question? Supervisor Davis.
Not on this question.
Inclusion or whatever, just go ahead. Supervisor Davis, we'll carry on.
Okay, this would be what Supervisor Franklin touched on before about the Judd Center renovation and relocation. I'm not sure which point tonight it's going to come out, maybe about the move from here to a different place. If that happens, are we going to take this out of the year, or what's the deal on that?
Eddie.
So I'm sorry, what are your question about the dollars, or just what's happening?
Right, about the dollars tonight. Do we still speak this tonight?
I think Patty can.
58.
Yeah, so what's shown in the budget here? I think Patty and Barnard, you guys want to handle that?
I can handle any of the questions about the project itself.
Yeah, the board can handle it, that's fine.
Thank you.
So it's not included with the price to purchase it.
Correct. And the purchase price actually occurs, you will be
borrowing. Be an extra paid up.
Correct.
Yep. So what about the $500 that would be here thereafter?
The 500,000 year over year is what we are anticipating passing the cost that would come to the county during that period of time until we take ownership of the building.
Further questions, Supervisor Rodriguez?
Thank you. I can't speak for anybody else on the board. I think the inclination, though, is based on what I've seen and heard from my colleagues and from the public, said, and what my wish is that we move to the Southern Plaza location. And after hearing what Ray said, it sounds like the purchasing of that lot, whether we stay there or not, especially if we stay there, is kind of a want, and we've got that whole plat, if you would, but it's not that identified as a need, even if we do stay there. And it, like I said, I think the leaning right now is that we'd like to entertain moving the job center. So I would make a motion to just strike that from the budget and not bond to buy that lot, because if we move, we don't need it. So we're moving. And if we stay, we still don't need it. So, I
can
make that motion
out if there's a second. Am I allowed to make comments? Supervisor Gray.
We can have that after we have a second or lack of a second. So, we have the motion moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Now, this discussion. And, Mr. Cuthbert, you can comment if you'd like.
Part of this deal would be at the end of when we, if we continue with the same group of people, and we do this project, they cannot sell the building until 2029, Patty, because they have to own the building for 5 years operating in order for them to get the credits, which saves a whole bunch of money in the building process. And at that point in time, they would buy our building, existing building, including the lot at that time. So if we don't buy it, I don't know if, I guess we sort of arranged a deal to maybe, but if somebody else came and bought that land and we wanted to sell it and it was that corner was owned by somebody else, it might be a problem when we eventually have to sell the building. And since they've agreed to buy the building, maybe if we owned it now, we could just sell it to them along with everything else. So it kind of solves a whole lot of little issues.
I guess what I would say to that, I know we have representatives here, if they want to speak on would that kill them buying the current building, would be if they're planning as a business to eventually occupy that land, whether it sounds like they want to tear it down and do housing or what have you, that in the meantime, they be the ones to purchase that. And I don't know if they want to speak to that. I mean, is it going to kill this deal where the whole thing's going to put it, we don't spend $100,000 on a lot that we don't have a use for anyways. You guys can speak to that?
Yeah, happy to. From our vantage point, we do, it is important to have that corner squared off so we can include that with the overall site. Whether we acquire it at a later point in time or the county does, we reimburse when we return by the overall package there with the 8600 block. It's got the worst piece from our standpoint, but we are prepared that if the county does in fact acquire it, we would acquire it back from the county.
And if we strike it tonight and then the final adoption of this budget is it's gone, you guys would be prepared to buy it on your own then?
Yeah, presuming that we everybody's moving forward and enter into the lease, that we would look to do that. And I don't know about the transferability of that purchase and sale agreement, so that is something we want to look at.
Ray, can you speak to that? Do we know about that?
It is kind of a horse apiece, so we could, if we bought it now.
No, I'm talking, we've agreed to purchase this property, correct?
Right, there's an offer to purchase contingent on board approval.
Can we transfer that offer to purchase to Bear, really? Or Bear, Bear?
I wouldn't see why we couldn't do that as part of the overall transfer.
Okay. So, I think what I've heard is, Bear wants to buy it, whether we buy it or they buy it, they want it, and they're ready to take it from us. So if we strike it tonight, and then at the final adoption of this budget, it's not in it, they want to take the offer from us. I don't see how we lose in that situation. some roads were paid by it from the property owner today. So I think because of that, we should share this.
Sure. We have others who'd like to speak on this. We're going to get to you, Supervisor Ronald, just a second. Supervisor Ronald.
$715,000. So promise to pay us the interest on the bonding. I don't think this is a big deal for us. It's a good faith effort for us to purchase this property, as we said that we would do as part of the deal. It's $115,000. I'm sure that we're going to get the money back on the bonding, the low rate that we're spending for the $115,000. So I think it's a wash. I think we should look at bigger numbers. If this was $1.5 million, I'd say, yeah, let's reconsider it. But it's $115,000, so I'm not going to vote for this amendment.
Supervisor Lommel, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I'm curious, unless I missed it. What is the sales price of the current building once this is, if this goes forward, what are we getting in return for the current, like I said, the current location?
So the appraisal that we had done earlier this year in, I believe it was in, I can't remember now, but it's this year, so it's a recent appraisal, was 1.8 6 million. Okay, 1.6.
Yeah, that's
the fair market appraisal.
That's what we are going to expect is the fair market value.
Right.
The appraisal.
Fair market.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions? Comments on this action? I will make the comment of this. If you take a look at that lot as one little piece of the entire job center parcel, whether we were to keep it as a county or it, not to work to our advantage to have that and control it just because we don't want some other entity going in there which would be counterproductive to our tenure there. It would be advisable to have it. If we were to think we were just going to sell the property, it is certainly more saleable having the entire property being sold than having the missing puzzle piece that the purchaser doesn't know what's going to happen to it or have to negotiate with a further entity. So I think on either account, from my perspective, it would be advisable for such a amount of $115,000 to control your own destiny if you are the ultimate user or to be able to pass it along to a future user in its integrity and its completeness. It's just a real estate thing. You don't want an orphan parcel laying out there which makes the whole thing less desirable. That's what I'm kind of. Supervisor Newton.
Well, I'd say that the motion was for the discussion. However, again, that part, whether we keep it or whether we move to the new location, I think it would be worth just buy a piece of land and maybe it goes through, we'll put in the price. We'll let, maybe instead of 115, we'll let 115 in the price. But, you know, I think it would be wise to do it, whether we keep it or whether we keep it or sell it. At this point, I think it would be wise to do it. I was questioning at the end of the $800,000, but for the lot itself,
it's very important. Further discussion on this amendment, Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Ray. If we buy this, I'll be leaving it just what it is today. We're not going to put a parking lot on or
no, expand. Yeah, we'd leave it as is. We wouldn't make any improvements.
Again, I see where everybody's coming from, Supervisor Nudo, Supervisor Belsky. But again, we have not identified a need for this. That sounds like a want, and I'm not going to support a want. I have no problem supporting needs where we need them throughout the county. We need to pay our employees more, and we need to make building improvements. But this doesn't do any of those things, especially with Bayer telling us we'll take that purchase agreement that you have right now with the property owner. We'll take over it. We'll buy it. And I don't see whether the interest is 0% or 10%. Borrowing for it. If we have somebody who's willing to buy it themselves. So for those reasons, I'll be voting no. And I request a roll call on the amendment as well.
If there's no more discussion, Supervisor Berger.
Yeah, I'm not going to support the motion right now because if we were to not purchase it and say the owner sells it to somebody else, we're creating a headache for somebody for whoever purchases it down the road, whether the city decides to change zoning on that small one parcel, which can throw plans off for the future development of that area. So, and I understand the transfer part of it, but I just think it's better that we own the whole entire area and sell the whole entire area as itself. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, we'll take a roll call on this. The motion before us stands to remove this particular item from the budget as proposed by Supervisor Rodriguez. An aye vote would signify removing it, a nay vote would signify that it stays in the budget. Supervisor Belsky.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
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 Yes.
I think the item that we discussed stays in the budget for the time being. Thank you. Should we carry on further with this item or this budget? Supervisor Frank, you have the floor.
We've been going for about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Can I make a motion for a 5 or 10 minute break?
We have someone will second that. There we go. Motion second. We stand adjourned for 5 minutes.